Welcome to day 272 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are going to be completing the book of Nehemiah. We are at the point in our reading that we have only 2 days left before we complete the entire Old Testament. This means that we have completed 39 books of the 66 books of the Bible. And so in just a few days, we are going to begin the reading of the New Testament in chronological order, and we will have 27 books left to complete the reading of the entire Bible, every chapter, every book, every verse. So we have made tremendous progress by the grace of God this year. So today we will hear the last few chapters of Nehemiah, and we will also read Psalm 126, which is a psalm that specifically addresses the joy that the children of Israel had when they were returned from their captivity in Babylon back to Jerusalem. So today, beginning at Nehemiah chapter 11, starting at the first verse. Now the leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, but the rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while 9/10 remained in other cities. And the people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. Now these are the heads of the provinces who lived in Jerusalem. But in the cities of Judah, each lived on his own property in their cities. The Israelites, the priests, the Levites, the temple servants, and the descendants of Solomon's servants. Some of the sons of Judah and some of the sons of Benjamin lived in Jerusalem. From the sons of Judah, Athaiah the son of Uzziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Amariah, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Mahalalel, of the sons of Perez, and Maaseiah, the son of Baruch, the son of Kol-Hoza, the son of Haziah, the son of Adiah, the son of Joiarib, the son of Zechariah, the son of the Shilonite. All the sons of Perez who lived in Jerusalem were 468 able men. Now these are the sons of Benjamin: Salu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Joed, the son of Pedaiah, the son of Kolaiah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ithiel, the son of Jeshiah, and after him, Gabai and Salai, 928. Joel, the son of Zikri, was their overseer, and Judah, the son of Hasunua, was second in command of the city. From the priests, Jediah the son of Joiarib, Jachin, Sariah the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Meraoth, the son of Ahitub, the leader of the house of God, and their kinsmen who performed the work of the temple, 822. And Adiah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Pelaliah, the son of Amzi, the son of Zechariah, the son of Pashur, the son of Malchijah, and his kinsmen, heads of his father's households, 242. And Amashai, the son of Azarel, the son of Asai, the son of Meshilamoth, the son of Immer, and their brothers, valiant warriors, 128. And their overseer was Zabdiel, the son of Hagadolim. Now, from the Levites, Shemaiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Azrikam, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Buni, and Shabbathai, and Jozabad. From the leaders of the Levites, who were in charge of the outside work of the house of God, and Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, who was the leader in beginning the thanksgiving at prayer, and Bakbukiah, the second among his brethren, and Abda, the son of Shammua, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun. All the Levites in the holy city were 284. Also, the gatekeepers, Akub, Talmon and their brethren who kept watch at the gates were 172. The rest of Israel, of the priests and of the Levites, were in all the cities of Judah, each on his own inheritance. But the temple servants were living in Ophel, and Ziha and Gishpa were in charge of the temple servants. Now the overseer of the Levites in Jerusalem was Uzi, the son of Bani, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micah, from the sons of Asaph, who were the singers for the service of the house of God. For there was a commandment from the king concerning them, and a firm regulation for the song leaders day by day. Pethahiah, the son of Meshezabel, of the sons of Zerah, the son of Judah, was the king's representative in all matters concerning the people. Now, as for the villages with their fields, some of the sons of Judah lived in Kiriath Arba and its towns, in Dibon and its towns, and in Jekabaziel and its villages, and in Jeshua, in Moladah and Beth Pelet, and in Hazar Shual, in Beersheba and its towns, and in Ziklag, in Mekonah and its towns, and in En Rimmon, in Zorah, and in Jarmuth, Zanoah, Adullam, and their villages, Lachish and its fields, Azekah and its towns. So they encamped from Beersheba as far as the valley of Hinnom. The sons of Benjamin also lived from Geba onward, at Michmash and Aijah, at Bethel and its towns, at Anathoth, Nob, Ananiah, Hazor, Ramah, Gittaim, Hadid, Zeboim, Nebalot, Lod, and Ono, the valley of craftsmen. From the Levites, some divisions in Judah belonged to Benjamin. Chapter 12. Now these are the priests and the Levites who came up with Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, Seraiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Amariah, Maluk, Hattush, Shechaniah, Rehum, Meramoth, Edo, Genathoi, Abijah, Mijamin, Maadiah, Bilgah, Shemaiah, and Joiarib, Jediah, Salu, Amok, Hilkiah, and Jediah. These were the heads of the priests and their kinsmen in the days of Jeshua. The Levites were Jeshua, Benui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, who was in charge of the songs of thanksgiving, he and his brothers. Also Bakbukiah and Uni, their brothers, stood opposite them in their service divisions. Jeshua became the father of Jehoiakim, and Jehoiakim became the father of Eliashib, and Eliashib became the father of Joiada, and Joiada became the father of Jonathan, and Jonathan became the father of Jaddua. Now, in the days of Joiakim, the priests, the heads of fathers' households were of Seraiah, Mariah of Jeremiah, Hananiah of Ezra, Meshullam of Amariah, Jehohanan of Maluki, Jonathan of Shebaniah, Joseph of Harim, Adna of Merioth, Helkai of Edo, Zechariah of Ginnathon, Meshullam of Abijah, Zikri of Miniamin of Modiah, Piltai of Bilgah, Shamua of Shemaiah, Jehonathan of Joiarib, Mattani of Jediah, Uzi of Salai, Kalai of Amok, Eber of Hilkiah, Hashabiah of Jedai, Nethanel. As for the Levites, the heads of the fathers' households were registered in the days of Eliashib, Joiada, and Johanan, and Jaddua. So were the priests in the reign of Darius the Persian. The sons of Levi, the heads of fathers' households, were registered in the book of the Chronicles up to the days of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. The heads of the Levites were Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brothers opposite them, to praise and give thanks, as prescribed by David the man of God, division corresponding to division. Mattaniah, Bakbukiah, Obadiah, Meshulam, Talmon, and Akkub were gatekeepers keeping watch at the storehouses of the gates. These served in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and in the days of Nehemiah the governor and of Ezra the priest and scribe. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. So the sons of the singers were assembled from the district around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites, from Gilgal and their fields in Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built themselves villages around Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites purified themselves. They also purified the people, the gates, and the wall. Then I had the leaders of Judah come up on top of the wall, and I appointed two great choirs, the first proceeding to the right on top of the wall toward the refuse gate. Hoshaiah and half of the leaders of Judah followed them, with Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the sons of the priests with trumpets, and Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his kinsmen, Shemaiah, Azarel, Melalai, Gilalai, Maya, Nathanael, Judah, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. And Ezra the scribe went before them. At the fountain gate, they went directly up the steps of the city of David, by the stairway of the wall, above the house of David, to the water gate on the east. The second choir proceeded to the left, while I followed them, with half of the people on the wall, above the tower of furnaces, to the broad wall, and above the gate of Ephraim, by the old gate, by the fish gate, the tower of Hananel, and the tower of the hundred, as far as the sheep gate. And they stopped at the gate of the guard. Then the two choirs took their stand in the house of God. So did I, and half of the officials with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elioenai, Zechariah, and Hananiah with the trumpets, and Maaseiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzi, Jehohanan, Malchijah, Elam, and Ezer. And the singers sang with Jezrahiah their leader, and on that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. On that day, men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities the portions required by the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who served, for they performed the worship of their God and the service of purification, together with the singers and the gatekeepers, in accordance with the command of David and of his son Solomon. For in the days of David and Asaph, in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise, and hymns of thanksgiving to God. So all Israel, in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, gave the portions due to the singers and the gatekeepers, as each day required, and set apart the consecrated portion for the Levites. And the Levites set apart the consecrated portion for the sons of Aaron. Chapter 13. On that day they read aloud from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and there was found written in it that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever enter the assembly of God, because they did not meet the sons of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. So when they heard the law, they excluded all foreigners from Israel. Now prior to this, Eliashib the priest, who was appointed over the chambers of the house of our God, being related to Tobiah, had prepared a large room for him, where formerly they put the grain offerings, the frankincense, the utensils, and the tithes of grain, wine, and oil prescribed for the Levites, the singers, and the gatekeepers, and the contributions for the priests. But during all this time, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had gone to the king. After some time, however, I asked leave from the king, and I came to Jerusalem and learned about the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah by preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. It was very displeasing to me, so I threw all of Tobiah's household goods out of the room. Then I gave an order, and they cleansed the rooms, and I returned there the utensils of the house of God with the grain offerings and the frankincense. I also discovered that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, so that the Levites and the singers who performed the service had gone away, each to his own field. So I reprimanded the officials and said, "Why is the house of God forsaken?" Then I gathered them together and restored them to their posts. All Judah then brought the tithe of the grain, wine, and oil into the storehouses. In charge of the storehouses, I appointed Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and Pedaiah of the Levites. And in addition to them was Hanan the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were considered reliable, and it was their task to distribute to their kinsmen. Remember me for this, O my God, and do not blot out my loyal deeds which I have performed for the house of my God and its services. In those days I saw in Judah some who were treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sacks of grain and loading them on donkeys, as well as wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, and they brought them into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So I admonished them on the day they sold food. Also, men of Tyre were living there who imported fish and all kinds of merchandise and sold them to the sons of Judah on the Sabbath, even in Jerusalem. Then I reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing you are doing by profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do the same, so that our God brought on us and on this city all this trouble? Yet you are adding to the wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." It came about that just as it grew dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and that they should not open them until after the Sabbath. Then I stationed some of my servants at the gates so that no load would enter on the Sabbath day. Once or twice, the traders and merchants of every kind of merchandise spent the night outside Jerusalem. Then I warned them and said to them, "Why do you spend the night in front of the wall? If you do so again, I will use force against you." From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come as gatekeepers to sanctify the Sabbath day. For this also, remember me, O my God, and have compassion on me according to the greatness of your loving kindness. In those days, I also saw that the Jews had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. As for their children, half spoke in the language of Ashdod, and none of them was able to speak the language of Judah, but the language of his own people. So I contended with them, and cursed them, and struck some of them, and pulled out their hair, and made them swear by God, "You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take of their daughters for your sons or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin regarding these things? Yet among the many nations, there was no king like him. And he was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, the foreign women caused even him to sin. Do we then hear about you, that you have committed all this great evil by acting unfaithfully against our God by marrying foreign women? Even one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was a son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite, so I drove him away from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and the Levites. Thus I purified them from everything foreign and appointed duties for the priests and the Levites, each in his task, and I arranged for the supply of wood at appointed times and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. This is the end of the book of Nehemiah. Now we will read Psalm 126. Starting at verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In these last few chapters of Nehemiah, we really get a picture of what happens when people become spiritually lazy and how it will drive them eventually into a point of just being completely spiritually lax and not paying attention to what God would have them to do. We see this happening in Jerusalem while Nehemiah had returned to Babylon. First of all, I want to point out from a historical standpoint that Nehemiah served as the governor in Jerusalem for a certain period of time that had been allowed him by the Babylonian king. And during that time, we know from the earlier chapters that he was able, by the grace of God, to see the wall of Jerusalem rebuilt in record time. In a mere 52 days, and yet years went by before the actual dedication of the wall. The reason for this, most likely, scholars say, is because the vast amount of rubble that was still piled up all around the city of Jerusalem made it almost impossible to have a proper dedication. So they had a lot of work to do before they cleared the rubble, the stones, the houses that had been torn down and burned, before that was cleaned up enough to have a proper dedication. So it appears that after a period of about 12 years, just at the end of Nehemiah's first period of governorship, they had this amazing dedication with hymns of thanksgiving, songs, accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres, and people marching all around the wall, to the point where it was such a great celebration that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar, the scripture tells us. Then we know from the word of God that Nehemiah returned to Babylon because he had set a time with the king that he would come back. So it appears that the people in the city of Jerusalem, including the religious leaders, the high priest and others, had no definite expectation that Nehemiah would ever return. And there is nowhere stated in the scripture that he told them he was coming back. So with that fact that they thought that the person who was so diligently watching over what was happening in Jerusalem to make sure that it was done according to the word of God, with the person who had such authority leaving, it appears that they began to become extremely lax in their spiritual lives and in their adherence to the word of God, to the point that Eliashib, who was the high priest at that time, actually allowed Tobiah, who was an arch enemy of Israel. He had opposed Nehemiah's work from the beginning. He had done everything to try to discourage him, put fear in him, tried to prevent him from rebuilding those walls. So, like a trick of the devil himself, if you can't beat him from the outside pressure, start from the inside. And that's exactly what Tobiah did. Somehow, and it's not very clear how it is, he was related through marriage to Eliashib the high priest, which shows us that Eliashib did not adhere to God's word and forbid a marriage of his family into a pagan family because Tobiah was an Ammonite. And as you know, the scriptures forbid intermarriage between the Jews and the pagan cultures of their day. So this arch enemy of the Jews, who couldn't beat them and prevent Ezra and Nehemiah from getting those walls rebuilt and the temple rebuilt, actually ended up allying himself through some marriage contract with some descendant or relative of Eliashib the high priest. And therefore, though he was unsuccessful trying to harass the Jews from the outside, he came on the inside and was able to exert some influence, and it was obviously quite a bit of influence, because Eliashib the high priest gave him essentially an apartment in the temple compound because he had control over all the rooms that were affiliated in the temple compound, and he gives Tobiah the Ammonite an apartment to stay in when he would visit Jerusalem. Tobiah, being an Ammonite, he was also some sort of Ammonite government official and had a lot of influence. And now he's influencing the priesthood by having married into the family, so to speak. This shows how spiritually lax this high priest had become. And of course, everything flows down from the top. What the leadership does influences and affects those in authority under them. And we find out that the people stopped bringing in the tithes into the temple. And the result then was that the Levites and singers who were paid from those tithes, the scripture said that the tithe went to the Levite and the singers. This was so that they could dedicate themselves completely to their service to God in the temple. But since they weren't being fed or paid, essentially, they had to go back to their fields in their villages elsewhere. They had to stop their work and go back and just make their own livelihood off their own land. You know, this principle of tithing, paying for the man of God, minister of God, was established by God himself. Maybe you resent giving an offering in church because you wonder where it's going. You say, oh, it's just paying the pastor's salary. Well, that's exactly what was happening here. The Levites, those who served God in the temple, received the tithes, personally received them, and that allowed them the freedom to do the work of God in the temple without having to go out and get a job or plow their own field, become a farmer in order to feed their family. This allowed them to dedicate themselves 100% to the work of the Lord. And so when they stopped paying their tithes, either because they saw that the high priest was mismanaging the temple, he probably had allowed the services to stop, things were not being done according to the law of Moses, the people stopped bringing in their tithes, which then caused the Levites and the singers to have to leave, so the temple services stopped. So the entire spiritual atmosphere in Jerusalem declined. And then, since there's no services, nothing's happening, the people started doing business on the Sabbath in clear violation of the law of Moses. And so spiritual deterioration took place. And that is exactly what Nehemiah found when he returned to Jerusalem after an unknown period of being back in Babylon and serving the king of Persia for the season that he had to return for. Nehemiah's response to seeing this tremendous spiritual decline was immediate and harsh. He went into this apartment that the high priest had provided for Tobiah the Ammonite and physically threw all the furniture out of the room. Then he had it cleansed, spiritually cleansed that room, and brought what was supposed to be in that room, which was the utensils used in the worship services and other things, back into that room and restored it for the purpose for which God's word, the law of Moses, had specified. To me, this story really speaks about the need that every single believer has of guarding themselves against becoming spiritually lazy and not being diligent in studying the Word of God, keeping themselves in an atmosphere where they're worshiping the Lord continuously and meeting with other people who absolutely love and honor God and are worshipers and pray. Because without those things, it is so easy for human nature to allow things that are not spiritually correct or proper or of a good influence to creep into our lives. Eliashib the high priest didn't start out by allowing an Ammonite, a person who's from a pagan culture, become a member of his family overnight. Slowly, 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 the erosion of his spiritual sensitivity and his spiritual determination and his spiritual dedication occurred. It was not an overnight thing. He didn't allow Tobiah to move into the temple compound overnight. These things slowly were eroded in his life. And this is something that all of us have to be very aware of. When you begin as a believer and you're enthusiastic for your life with Christ and you begin reading the Bible and you go and find a good church to worship in and you start out with such zeal, the enemy himself will look for ways to slowly erode that enthusiasm or spiritual hunger that you possibly had in the very beginning of your walk with God. He will do anything. He will try to bring in other influences into your life. He'll try to bring in non-believers to befriend you. Tobiah was a non-believer, and somehow he ended up becoming the close friend of the high priest of the temple. Now, how could that even occur? It didn't happen in one day. Slowly, slowly, that erosion took place. Take a look at your own life. Has your zeal for the Lord weakened? Has your desire to pray and worship God and read the Bible lessened over time? Or has it increased? Have you kept the fire of your passion for Jesus and for God's word and your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Is it on the upswing, or has it burned down, so to speak? Or is it burning brightly? You need to take an assessment with the insight of the Holy Spirit to your own life. Have you allowed influences that are from a pagan source into your life? To me, I've observed one of the most easy access points that the devil seems to have in Christians' lives is the open door of movies and television that bring in a cross current to what is spiritually clean and edifying and upbuilding. If you allow a little bit of television that you watch that's, you know, is unclean, has unclean themes, has unclean images, and you say, oh, I'll just watch a little bit, I'll take the good parts and leave the bad, you know, that's impossible to take the good and leave the bad when you're allowing something into your spirit. And something that you see visually, like television or movies or images on the internet, they come directly into your spirit because your eye gate is one of the openings to your spirit. So if you allow yourself the liberty of watching television, movies, and other type of images like that into your spirit that you know violate the word of God and the standard of God's word for purity. You know, David said in the Psalms, I will put no unclean thing before my eyes. And that was a covenant he made with his own eyes. He knew he had to watch himself. He knew he had to watch what he looked at. He fell into adultery with Bathsheba because he allowed his eyes to linger on the woman bathing on the rooftop across from the palace. The eye gate was the open door to that sin of adultery. And it's the same today, only it's taken a much more sophisticated turn with digital images on the internet, on the computer, on the television, on the movie screen. So we as believers today have to be very careful about being spiritually lazy or lax and not protecting our spirits. Eliashib, the high priest, obviously, somewhere along the line, let down his guard and started to allow things into his life that were absolutely contrary to God's word. He was the high priest. He knew what God's word said. You're a believer. You know what God's word says. Unless you are a brand new believer and haven't been discipled yet about these issues of guarding your spirit, then if you're a mature believer, you should know. If you're a young believer, allow this message to speak to you, that it's our responsibility personally to guard our spirits so that we don't become spiritually lazy and allow things into our lives that essentially pollute our spirits and then draw us far from the Lord. Eliashib the high priest was responsible for the worship of the Lord. He was spiritually responsible for the influence on a lot of people, and he allowed unclean things to come in. He allowed alliances with people who were pagans and absolutely had no honor for God, his word, or the worship of the one true God. And by allowing those influences into his life, it took him away from the Lord. It took him to a place where he didn't even make sure that the tithes were paid so that the Levites and the singers were allowed to continue their work. He just let that all fall to the ground to the point where the temple services just stopped even happening. And he was spiritually responsible. Consider your own life. You're spiritually responsible for your own temple. Eliashib was responsible for that physical temple that existed during the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. In our day, the temple of the Holy Spirit is the individual believer, and we are spiritually responsible to protect it from ungodly influences and not to allow things to come in and camp out in our temple that are contrary to the Lord and his word. So I just want to speak that to you today. Consider your own temple. Your spirit man, the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is you and your spirit. Have you allowed Tobiah the Ammonite to have a room in the temple? Is there a place where something that's contrary to God's word exists in your spirit? Then do like Nehemiah did. Cleanse that room completely. Throw out everything that is contrary to God's word and restore the worship to the one true God that should be happening in the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is you and your personal spirit. God bless you and give you a victorious week.